Pleased to say I've got John Cross joining me now, chief football writer for the Mirror. I thought to talk about this sort of situation that we have in the world of football. I want to get someone experienced, and who better than you, John? Welcome to the show.
Well, bless you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's awesome to have you on, and really appreciate you taking the time to speak to me. Well, first things first, coronavirus. Have you seen anything like this ever before?
No, it's interesting, actually. I was talking to someone earlier, and another journalist from the TV world, and they were sort of saying, have you ever experienced it? And I was just really trying to rack my brains, and I've been at the Mirror 22 years, never had anything like this, had sort of strange postponements, I guess, going back to 9/11 and those tragic circumstances. An England game being postponed for 24 hours, which was a bit odd, but that pales into insignificance. And I guess the only thing that you can compare it with, not that I was sort of obviously aware of this, was basically covering sport in wartime, because the crisis is there. It feels a bit strange in England, because I'm sort of kind of in touch with various sort of kind of, you know, people in Europe. I've been traveling around Europe quite a lot recently, whether that's for sort of the Nations League draw or kind of, you know, a couple of Champions League games. You suddenly realise that actually we're quite far behind in the UK. I don't think we've been fully aware yet. And I think this week what's happened, from a position where sort of early evening Thursday we were going to play on regardless this weekend, to suddenly it changing an hour later when the Arsenal manager test positive, it's been a wake-up call, I think, and only now, I think, to the, you know, are people really grasping the magnitude of what's going on, for the effects for kind of, you know, football, but also society as a whole. You know, suddenly it's become very real, and I think it's weird, you know, Asmir, I think that basically football is such an indicator, such an important part in society, that it's almost taken games here to be called off for football to go into meltdown, for I think the public, you know, wider at large, if you like, to appreciate the scale of this crisis, and it almost takes you know, someone like Jurgen Klopp giving an impassioned speech for people to wake up and realize just how severe this is.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When it hit us in Italy a little while ago, I was very surprised as to how delayed everything else was. I just thought collectively, and I hope it doesn't affect everything else too long, because maybe this just could have got on a lot sooner, and people could have got on top of it a lot sooner, and hopefully we get back to normality sooner. Because I think the more it's delayed and the more it's sort of spread out, then the crisis is going to get bigger and larger and going to have more and more effects, you know. But that's for the people in power of the game. I think it's not for us to decide. You know, we just follow the rules. But as you say, you know, it's sort of everything shut down in Italy a while back, and then, you know, quite a few days after, really everything else is shut down. So, you know, I just hope it's not going to have too of a detrimental effect on everything else. But I guess there's going to be effects on this. I mean, how do you see the season finishing? I mean, I know is there a big meeting for the Premier League on Thursday? I mean, we in Italy don't know exactly what's going to happen either. So do you see there any way out of this at the moment?
Well, I do think this week is really pivotal, in that basically what happened was, obviously, the Premier League and the EFL, you know, there's sort of the lower three divisions, if you like, were guided by government on Thursday, and basically said, right, we'll play on this weekend. I think there was some reticence from certain clubs who were already feeling the effects. So then the development of you know, high-profile people testing positive here pushed them into action, pushed them into an emergency meeting on Friday, which was largely done by a video call conference. And I think basically they agreed jointly with the EFL and the FA, the Premier League, to postpone until April the 4th. But then also that then they would reconvene this coming Thursday to kind of talk about and thrash out the details of what the scenarios, the possible scenarios, and what might be. Obviously, that depends, we know, on kind of what UEFA agreed to a certain extent at their meeting on Tuesday. And you know, I think Euro 2020 will be postponed by a year. That will give the domestic league some breathing space in the summer, so they could go on into June. and potentially beyond. But also, I think that, that they will scale back the kind of the quarterfinals and the semifinals of the Champions League, Europa League, into one-off games. So again, you're cutting back on another raft of fixtures there, and that gives you even more scope. And I think basically, once that is signed off on Tuesday, the Premier League will know a little bit more clear what they can present to the 20 member clubs on Thursday. I think, it's interesting that Karen Brady is quoted in one of the newspapers here, that she's the amongst the West Ham hierarchy, saying that the season should be null and voided. But I from what I gather, I don't think that's a popular view. There's a lot of backlash about it. West Ham, obviously, in relegation trouble themselves. So, you know, the accusation of self-interest is there. But I do think it's something that will have to be considered, but it isn't at this stage a popular view. I think what is more likely is that first and foremost, they'd like to carry on. So I think April the 4th is highly unlikely to be able to do that. I think it's impossible, really. And then the next option would be behind closed doors. But again, you're relying on kind of clubs being infection free. So again, that's not necessarily an option. And then I just think they will have to get into the rounds of the possibles, which are playing on with no relegation, but you get the top two promoted. I think Leeds and West Brom, as it stands, they're quite clear in that Championship division at the moment, being promoted. And then basically you'd have to get sort of a bigger expansion starting Premier League season. If we had an earlier finish to this season, I think an earlier season to this season would effectively mean Liverpool champions. They'd have to find out some sort of system for who finishes it in the top four and who gets the Champions League places. And all those sort of things, I think, will be discussed on Thursday. I think ultimately I can see more and more people don't think the season will be completed in its entirety. What I think they have to find is a solution so it's not null and voided completely. I think that would be such a bad way to go. But I think that basically they'll put into the situation on Thursday about three possible scenarios, which obviously will depend on just how quickly they can get playing again, what UEFA decide on Tuesday, and move from there. But I just think nobody knows. And that's part of the problem. It's such a difficult one to kind of predict.
What would you like to see?
I definitely would like to see the season played on. That would be my wish. I think that people will immediately say, well, let's go again on April the 4th. I think you're living in cloud cuckoo land. I think football at the earliest will start again in May. The only hope is that with the weather improving and temperatures improving, then maybe we might not peak as feared in terms of the virus here. We can only hope and pray that it doesn't become as bad as Italy. And, you know, I just send all my love and thoughts to people in Italy. It's awful. But then I'd just like to see the kind of games going into June finding some sort of solution. I just don't believe that we'll be able to end by the end of May. I just don't believe that is reality. I hope that that's the best case scenario. I don't think that behind closed doors solves anything, because you're just delaying it. And also, if clubs get infections, you won't be able to play anyway. I mean, forget the fans and the risk of infection. It's just irrelevant. So I hope that they'll be able to complete it. I think the reality is that it might be difficult, and therefore I just think that we should play until we find, say, you know, six games left, for example, find some sort of solution whereby no relegation, the top two are promoted from the Championship. We find some sort of solution whereby the top four go into the Champions League next season. I think that's the only reality that we can possibly have, because these are exceptional times. And I just think it would be, it seems crazy to be talking about, you know, a sort of unfairness in sport when we've got people dying. And I just think just find the best solution possible.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, because I think as well, what you say about the April 4th, is very, very optimistic about anything or any leagues restarting at that point. So I think that's going to be a little bit later. I think it's a really big opportunity for, and as you said earlier, football has such a big impact on the world. And I think we sometimes forget that. And I think this is a really big chance to, after hopefully we can arrange, you know, we can come to a stop with the virus and get this all under control. And, you know, as tragic as it's been for some people, I think football is now a real big opportunity to put some smiles on people's faces and really look at things in a different way, because annulling anything, canceling, is just going to carry on the sort of sorrow feeling and a bad feeling with people. I think this is a really big way where they could have a chance to really put smiles back on people's faces, you know, get football back on track. I think the European Championship has to be moved. There is no way, no physical way to complete anything and get people ready for the Euros. And I think at the same time, I just think they can condense everything and have a lot of fun with it. Get games, get everything played out still on the pitch. You know, as you said, do we need two-legged quarterfinals, semifinals of the Champions League? No, let's just do one leg. It's the luck of the draw, and may the best team win on that day. And the same in the Premier League. You know, if we have to squeeze in games, the weather's going to get better now. Let's have fans. You know, there could be games on every single night now, because people are going to miss out on watching football. They're going to miss out on being the experience. So why not do something a little bit different where we can get all these games in and let decide who wins the title, who gets in the Champions League, who gets promoted, who gets relegated on the field as it should be. And then obviously start the season next season as and when they decide. But I think definitely this season needs to finish on the field. And I think it's a way to kind of get that joy back to people. And I think football can do that. So that would be my opinion. You know, I don't know how you agree with it and what your thoughts are. But I think if there is a way, we have to get, you know, finish the season on the pitch as it should be.
Yeah, I do totally agree with you. I mean, there's a few ponderables, isn't there, that basically if you go beyond June, how does that impact upon players who, you know, whose contracts finish in June, for example, at the end of June, which is obviously the common cut-off date? I just think it's almost like side issues. And I just think that, you know, in exceptional circumstances, you like to think that basically people could find some sort of agreement, although you're obviously counting on individuals there. And it's difficult. I appreciate that. I think you make such a good point in that basically football has such an important voice at times like these. I think we forget that basically we look to kind of people within football, you know, whether that's Jurgen Klopp's making that wonderful kind of speech and sort of words yesterday for Liverpool fans, or indeed, you know, kind of fans of watching on social media as players kind of deliver messages about kind of taking care, about being responsible, about doing things the right way. Their voice is probably listened to by a certain generation in far greater detail and with far more interest than they are politicians of today. And so I don't think we should underestimate that what an important kind of influence and positive influence sport can have on the wider society. And I totally agree with you in that basically I do feel that we should try and find a way. I think it would be terrible if for example, the FA abandoned the FA Cup or you know, or kind of, you know, UEFA did away with the Champions League. I don't think that's on the agenda, by the way, certainly not the latter. But I just think that let's find a way, because you're right. I think it kind of, we look to sport and enjoyment at difficult times like these. We need it to get this through, don't we?
That's what I think. I mean, listen, as a footballer myself, and okay, I'm in my 30s now and it's different, but you know, we have nine games. Most teams have nine games left in the Premier League. So you can get that done in a month. Play every 3-4 days. So you need 4 weeks one way or another with the FA Cup and Premier League. So you're going to need probably 2 months to finish it. Why not shorten preseason? Do we need a 6-week preseason?
No.
You know, it's the same. I watched in the NFL, and they're begging the governing bodies to shorten the preseason because of injuries and preseason. And I mean, we're such well-trained athletes these days and ready. Do we need a 6-week preseason? No. Just, you know, obviously, as you said, there is going to be that tricky side of things about people out of contract and the transfer window and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's definitely ways to really try and get this back on track within the next few months as normal for next year. But I think it would be such a shame to not see this play out and, you know, the race for the top four and the relegation battle and the promotion race be done on the pitch, because people have paid for season tickets. There's a way, there's TV money, there's just everything. There could be such a really cool way of kind of getting things back on track and just have a football.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I do feel that, you know, that there has to be a way in that basically of doing it. People will look, I think, towards 2021, the Club World Cup. And I just think that, football politics will probably come into play at that point, in that basically FIFA will want to kind of sort of say this goes ahead, and UEFA obviously have their, the Euros. I just think in times like these, the sort of the petty squabbles have to be put aside. And I guess that's also the issue with player contracts. And I just think everyone needs to kind of almost put self-interest to one side for a moment and basically just look at the bigger picture. But I do totally agree with you in that basically there is a way of doing it. There is a way of condensing it, whether that's kind of, getting this summer right, getting pre-season right, and maybe a later start or something like that. But there has to be a way. And I do still think as long as we don't have too long a delay, and I think once we get into summer, I think the virus will hopefully recede. And then basically there has to be a way of getting through this because, it's such a relief, I think, for a lot of people and a lot of football fans who frankly won't know what to do with themselves for the next 4 to 6 weeks, certainly in this country.
Well, absolutely. As you said, I think the biggest part is to get this, it's better just to shut everything down, get this virus under control, get people back to their normal lives, for everything, for their health, for the economy, for just the way of life. And then I think there's a way of just being able to put this all together, because as I mentioned earlier, I look at some of the American sports. I mean, what's the biggest profitable league? And I think the league that makes the most money is the games that have urgency, and that's the NFL, because they only have 16 regular season games. So every game has such a huge meaning. And I think it could just be a really cool sort of short blast of football now where every game is going to be so important, whether it's for your league position, whether it's for Champions League qualifications, whether it's, the knockout stages of the Champions League and the FA Cup. I just think it could be such a cool way of, kind of taking this low time into a big high. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think, like you said, this next week is going to show us a lot. And but I just think there's no way.
No. And listen, I'm 99% sure that they will come to this arrangement that basically the Euros will be shifted back by a year, and I'm sure UEFA will rubber stamp that as indeed I think it's a likelihood rather than certainty on rescheduling the Europa League and Champions League games into just one-off affairs. But I just think that with the Euros, I mean, it's just, it's encouraging, actually, that basically such a huge event, so many plans and so many logistical things, stadiums and what have you, trips and travel and itineraries. It seems to me at the drop of a hat this week, they've talked about changing it. That shows that football, believe it or not, and sometimes it is difficult to believe, can be flexible. And I think that we need to be flexible, and let's just kind of, play it by ear and basically, be as flexible as we possibly can. Because I think if we adopt that attitude, which I think is fair play to UEFA, they've done that, then I think that's the way of getting things done. I really do.
Well, John, let's see what the next week or so brings. It's been a pleasure to have you here in the Season of Sports. So where can people follow you? You're on Twitter. I know you're active on Twitter at John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Are you on Instagram? Have you got that far yet?
I am. I don't use that quite so much, but also the same address, John Cross Mirror. So my picture, my photography, probably isn't up to scratch, really. I'll post the odd picture, but I enjoy Twitter a lot. I think in times like this, it's created so much in interest and about coronavirus, and it's probably a good thing. Although sometimes kind of social media can drive you mad about things when actually you see bad things going on across the rest of the world, and but no, it's a good place to be at the moment.
Great stuff. Thank you, John. Speak to you soon.
Pleasure.
Awesome to have John Cross on this episode. Someone I hugely respect in the game, and I can't value his opinion highly enough, and just an incredible person to talk to about the state of the game at the moment. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll finish off this episode with the huddle. Appreciate your questions in the last couple of days. We've got our regular tweeters as usual. We've got Milan Obsession asking us a couple of questions. Do you think Rudy Gobert testing positive for COVID-19 after touching all of those mics and recorders at the press conference was karma? Should the NBA punish him for his joke at a time like this, especially since he literally put lives at risk? I think it's something he'll learn from. I think it's something that he will he won't do again in the future, of course. I think that was probably slightly immature on his part to do something like that as in a very, very sensitive moment, of course. So he'll learn from it. I don't think he'll do it again. Are they going to punish him? I don't think they're going to punish him. It's something that I think is punishment enough just for the embarrassment alone. But yeah, I think now everyone's taking it serious. And if maybe certain people would have taken it a little serious a little bit earlier, maybe this wouldn't have happened as much. Next question. What is your opinion on how Serie A and other leagues should resolve their league titles for this season once COVID-19 is longer a threat? Should their titles remain unsigned? Should there be a playoff? Should they assign the titles according to the current table or other? Well, we touched on this in the episode. I think that, you know, they need to try and squeeze all the games in and make sure that everything's decided on the field one way or another. We believe that, and from what I understand, the European champions will be moved, so there'll be a bit of a gap this summer to finish the season a little bit later, and then maybe cut preseason a little bit so that everything can still fit in. I think for the fans, for the clubs, for how the game should be played, we should definitely try and settle as much of the season as we can on the field. And the same goes for the other sports. NBA, make sure one way or another this is settled on the court and may the best team win or finish in the place that they need to finish. Harris Marconia, regular tweeter to us. What are the main differences from a player's perspective between Serie A and EPL? What does AC Milan need to do to be competitive again, fight for one of the first four places? Well, I think to answer your first question is, it's, you know, I think both leagues have incredibly high skilled quality players. I think that's truly on show each and every week. I think it's slightly different tactically. The pace is a little bit slower in Italy, where it's a more tactically astute league, and England is a faster pace and a bigger tempo. So physically more and more demanding. So I think that those are the slight differences, but both, you know, high quality leagues with amazing clubs, and you know, it's a pleasure to play in both. What does AC Milan need to do? Well, I think you know, we need to get better results. That's my job until the end of the season to help with that. And then what happens in the future is obviously for the people in the power, the people to decide, who need to decide these kind of things. But of course, Milan deserves to be challenging for trophies each and every year, challenging for Champions League and being in the Champions League. So, you know, this is something we will strive to do. But yeah, that brings me to the end of the huddle. Hope you enjoy this episode with John Cross. Hopefully we'll get some more to you in the coming days to keep you in the spirit of sports. But yeah, listen to us, iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom. I'm trying to record these episodes on Anchor. So if you want to try the Anchor app, get on there. We'll try and get a podcast out to as many people as we can. Review, like, dislike our podcast. Let us know what you think. I really appreciate all your feedback. So it means a lot to me. And yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And I'll be back with you very, very soon.